When I was in middle school, I lived in South America for about a year. And being part of our culture, we have a lot of stories, superstitions, especially that come from the countryside. Well, I lived in the city, but we had some people that had come over from the mountainside, and they actually earned a living by making potions or even putting on curses. People believed in white magic and black magic. I have heard a lot of people close to me, relatives, that have had experiences with this. I mean, I can't say for sure if it's real or not. Honestly, I'm skeptic, but I mean, I do this podcast and because I think part of my culture, I was raised to not mess with this type of stuff. I don't mess with anything because I can't prove that it doesn't happen or it's not true. But I also leave room for the possibility of there being things that we cannot explain and probably are not meant to understand. Well, anyway, around 2 blocks away from my house and around the corner, there was this urban legend, let's say, about this shaman that had moved to the area, and he had gotten the power to perform magic or curses, and he was supposed to have dealt with black magic. And so the story goes that on that corner around midnight, if you went around there, you would see him in the shape of a black goat running around wildly, and you have to be careful because he would attack you. But of course, I heard about this as a kid and people talked about it. Well, some people said that they saw it, but you know, it was just, there was no proof of anything. So one of my mom's friends, who was a medic, who went to people's houses on call, one day had to go somewhere that either she had to cross an alleyway where she saw some guys that seemed to have had a few drinks too many, or around that corner where the shaman goat was supposed to be roaming around at midnight. And she chose that way because she said, you know, obviously it's just a story. But anyway, she went that way and it was pitch black, and she heard some sounds of something that she wanted to believe were maybe two people running around with hard-soled shoes. But she said she obviously remembered the story and she was thinking, oh, these are hooves and is this witch doctor running around? So she said that she arrived to the house in half the time that she had ever expected herself to run. Now, when she told us that, she said she felt a little silly, but you never know. So when I was a kid, I would sometimes look out the window, and some kids in my school talked about it too, and they say, hey, maybe we should like sneak out of the house and take a look. But I would never go. I would never dare go because just something told me that I didn't want to find out whatever it was. I know the mind can also play tricks on one, but I wouldn't want to put myself in a situation where even my mind could make something up and freak me out. Just why? As much as I try to find explanation to things, and I think I like to feel safe knowing that there could be a reason for something to happen without it being supernatural, I don't discount there being something or something that's out of our human understanding, so I would never mess with it, as I said. What are some very local, unknown urban legends or stories from around your neighborhood? I would really like to hear about it. Just, you never know. Well, here are the stories for this week. I hope you enjoy them. Well, find them interesting. This is Elise, and this is my podcast. And then it got weird. It's not really unexplained in the traditional sense, as there are two possible explanations, but I personally don't know which explanation is true. I attended elementary school in a small town, and the school itself sat atop a forested hill, a mountain, overlooking a large area of said small town. Toward the end of recess one day, on what I recall as being one of the first spring days that my jacket lay abandoned on the benches, I noticed a long, back-covered something that floated to the top of a lake that sat between a nearby residential area and the school. I thought perhaps I had just been watching too much unsolved mysteries with my grandmother until my fellow classmates also took notice of it the following day. Being kids, we all congregated around the area of a fence through which you could barely see the lake, huddled on tippy toes to take a peek at it. Jokes and serious queries alike were made about it possibly being a dead body, to the point that I, being the resident weird kid, was even asked to perform a seance. Despite our concern, and perhaps due to our naivety, we collectively and implicitly felt that there was no need to alert any authority figure to the existence of the bound garbage bags. For as much as we discussed it, it couldn't really be a murder victim or anything, right? At best, it was somebody's trash. At worst, it was a prank by someone in the neighborhood meant to scare us elementary students. After what felt like a long time, but was probably 3 weeks at most, the bags and their contents disappeared from the lake, and we kids went back to normal playground activities like kickball, tittle-tattle, and breaking bones. As a child, that was the end of the story of the weird garbage bags and whatever was inside them. As an adult, I'm really curious and concerned as to whether or not my classmates and I made jokes while overlooking an actual murder victim. When I lived in a really old house, a lot of weird things happened. One night while I was at the stove cooking, I heard a light, scratchy noise coming from my dining room. I ignored it until it became a light tapping noise, and I noticed my cat heard it too. I followed Kitty through the dining room to the laundry room and realized the tapping was coming from behind the laundry room door. While I was trying to decide if it was an animal that got inside, it turned from tapping to knocking. The cat wanted to go look, but I didn't know what was in there, so I put some heavy bags in front of the door to keep him from trying to open it. This went on and off for a little while with a minute of noise, then a few minutes of quiet where I could go back to making dinner. With every new round of noises, though, I got increasingly anxious and the cat was ready to attack whatever it was. My husband called as he was getting out of work and would be home in 15 minutes or so. I told him to hurry because the noise in the laundry room was freaking me out. I told him if it's an animal in there, it must be pretty big, and I didn't want to open the door by myself. It stayed knocking for a couple seconds and then being quiet for a few minutes, on and off after the phone call. Then, like 10 minutes later, it started banging, like all around in there, all over the room. I was about to leave the house, but it quieted down, enough again that my heart started beating normally again. My husband was going to be home in a few more minutes. I had a huge butcher knife in one hand and my phone in the other with the 9 on the 1 already punched in, just waiting by the door. Just waiting by the door. A few more minutes go by and I started to think an animal must have tired itself out in there. Then it went wild. I could hear it all over the shelves. I could hear the tools falling off shelves onto the floor, the bottles of laundry detergent crashing onto the washing machine, just everything on every shelf being thrown around wildly. I was paralyzed with fear. My cat was cowering next to me and totally frozen in fear, too. When I got feeling back, I headed toward the front door with knife and phone and called Kitty to follow me. And then it stopped. It was dead silent, totally over. Then I saw my husband's headlights coming up in the driveway. He came in and hugged me till I stopped shaking. Then we went to find out what was in the laundry room. He's 6'1" and probably 275 pounds back then, so I hid behind him with the knife, getting ready to help him tackle a burglar or incapacitate a rabid fox or something. I could only imagine the mess in there. So we got the door open and nothing came out. Turned the light on and nothing was out of place. Shelves were intact. Tools and laundry supplies were neat and where they belonged. I have no explanation for this entire event. It probably took me 3 days to go back into that room by myself, but nothing like that ever happened again. Well, lots of other stuff, which I will share another day, but not this. When I was in middle school, my mom began describing to me these strange fits I would have while sleeping at night. She asked me why I was kicking and screaming and if I had been having nightmares. And I told her I couldn't remember because, well, I really couldn't. We had just moved into a double house and we lived on the lower level. But I would occasionally have dreams of being on the balcony of the upper level and falling down into the grass in the backyard. The dreams were not necessarily scary, just weird. Eventually, I began to have dreams about getting up and walking around the house, turning on lights, looking in the fridge, etc., and then going back to my bed. One of these dreams entailed standing in front of the television and flipping the channels over and over, never really stopping on one channel to see what was on, but then turning the TV off and going back to bed. My mom began questioning me again when she kept finding random lights on in the morning or the TV remote in the middle of the floor. At one point, she yelled at me for turning on every light in the house, and it sort of clicked for me because I had a dream that I had gotten up and turned on all the lights. I tried to explain it to her, but she just wrote me off as one would do to a middle schooler. While we lived there, none of it really connected for me because I was young and the incidents would happen weeks apart. I did find the occurrences strange, but I found a lot of things strange at that time, and I have always felt that I come to understand things half-assed backwards. It wasn't until I was a little older and my mom brought it up again that I was able to connect the dots. I have forgotten all about those strange dreams, because when we moved out of the house, we moved around within the same city a lot because my mom often had issues with landlords. The dream stopped and I never sleepwalked again. Now that I am older, I often wonder what the hell was going on. The dreams were so vivid, and the lights being on, things being moved, all seemed like clues that I was indeed sleepwalking. But why only that house? And why did I have memories of it as if my eyes were open, but my brain was barely functioning? I think about what I must have looked like in that state. If anybody had ever seen me, I'd have been like a zombie, eyes halfway open, just turning lights on and off and flipping TV channels. The whole thing is still a big mystery to me. Every time my mom would find herself in some kind of trouble, Mr. Sanders would appear. I have no idea who he actually was because I am the only one who remembers him. He was never anything but kind to us, but I was terrified of him. Maybe it was just because he was very tall and lanky with an abnormally deep, booming voice that reminded me of thunder, but maybe there was something more to it than that. I don't know how he managed to find my mom every single time she needed help on the road, but it really seemed like he did. One time, she accidentally swerved into a ditch, and who happened to drive by and stop? Mr. Sanders. One time, she got a flat tire, and Mr. Sanders showed up to help her change the spare while we ate ice cream. One time, there was a hurricane and a tree fell down and blocked our only way home. Mr. Sanders showed up with a chainsaw. In my late teens, I mentioned Mr. Sanders to my mom and asked her who he was. She didn't remember him. I said, "You know, the guy who helped us when you got wrecked in the ditch." "The tow truck guy?" "No, Mr. Sanders, the one who came right after it happened. The one who helped us out of the car." "No one helped us out of the car," she said. "We walked over the farm and asked her to use the telephone, and then we waited there." So, I am honestly not sure if Mr. Sanders was a real guy that everyone had forgotten about, or if he was the creepiest guardian angel ever. This is something that happened when I was younger. So one time back in the day around Christmas time, my mom and dad left me, and I was 11, and my sister, who was 5, to go to a Christmas party. My sister and I had all the drapes on the windows closed and the lights were off on most of the house, and all doors were locked. We had just shut the TV off. It was back when the networks went off the air at around 11 or 12 a.m. So we're sitting up, gathering up all our things we had in the living room to go to our shared room when we hear the front screen door open. It surprised me. We hadn't heard a car in the driveway and we were being pretty quiet, not talking or anything. So, expecting my parents, we kind of froze waiting for the key in the lock, which didn't happen. Instead, we hear a scratching sound at the top of the door. Now, this sound turns into this horrible nails on a chalkboard streak and travels from what sounds like the top of the door to the bottom. This door was metal, by the way. It or whoever does this repeatedly. With my sister and I on the couch, just staring at the door, I can remember being absolutely terrified, wondering what this is and just why. Finally, the sound stops and the screen door softly closes, and we don't hear any footsteps or anything. We sat on the couch, too afraid to move, and I believe eventually fell asleep until my parents came in through the side kitchen door. I don't remember saying anything to them about it, but the next day, when it was totally daytime, I went out and looked, and there were scrapes from the top all the way down the door. Thank you to our contributors. Your stories are very interesting, and I'm really happy to share them. Thank you, dear listener, for playing this episode. And I would ask you that if you can, you can rate and subscribe. This is a small personal project, and a subscription or a review or a follow are very helpful for me to keep going with this. And also, please check the show notes, and you can find me there on Instagram, where I'm very active on Instagram. And also, if you would like to chip in to help me host and cover some expenses, let's say for the podcast, I understand, of course, that these are tough times, so I don't expect anything, but of course I'm thankful. But the most important thing, as I said, is a subscription, and keep downloading and listening. And I promise I will get better with this. I'm learning, and I'm a noob, but and I hope that you can see my content improve over time. But I'm very happy to be able to reach you. And as always, wherever you are, good morning, have a good day, or have sweet dreams. This has been Elise with And Then It Got Weird.